I was someone who never thought about being a mom, never like yearned for that. And I felt like I only ever saw people having breakdowns in the Target parking lot and posting it. And I was terrified. I had my expectations that like, my life is going to end. I'm going to have severe postpartum depression. Right. Like, it is normal to want to kill yourself after you have a baby. And I was just like expecting all of this. Very vague terminology is used towards the joys of motherhood. Mm. Very specific terminology is used towards the hard parts. I just want to try to like more clearly define the parts that are really fun and great. And like, it's fun. I'm having fun.
I love that. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Very Good Enough, a podcast from Very Good Mothers Club. I'm Lane Dealing Churland, and you may notice the absence of the voice of our very precious Jessica Hover, who is typically here with us. But never fear, she is absent only from this intro. You will hear her glorious voice in but a few moments. We have saved for you guys this very delightful interview. And I'm really, really excited about like where this has landed in the calendar of podcast episodes, because this is a conversation that Jess and I had with somebody really special, actually quite a few months ago. And yet the way that it's lined up, the themes that we get into in this conversation are actually like really perfectly in line with the kinds of conversations that have been going on in our community and in this season five of the podcast. And I'm just really excited for you guys to get to hear it, because the person that we have today is a phenomenal woman called Claire Edwards. And she and Jess are friends via internet land and parenting and influencing and all of those kinds of like very fun specific things. So you'll get to hear them sort of like fangirl out on each other a little bit later in this episode. It was such a sweet moment to be there for, because I think if I recall correctly, this is like them like really meeting for the first time in real life and getting to like interact with each other and just like, you know, tell each other how much they like each other. So stay tuned for that, because it's stinking cute. Claire is someone who shares her life on the internet, and she's a stay-at-home mom in, I believe, Arkansas. And she is just a freaking delight, you guys. She's out here on the internet just being funny and really just kind of showing a side of motherhood that sometimes the internet isn't that interested in anymore. The internet does a really good job of covering the parts of parenting that are like very hard, or being like very funny and snarky about parenting and stuff like that. And I think it's cool that we have a space to express those things. But sometimes I feel like there's a real lack of stories and examples of people who are like, you know, I didn't know how this was going to be, and then I actually got into this parenting thing and I love it. I'm like really happy and I'm having a really good time. And Claire is one of those people. So you'll get to hear her talk a lot more about that, which if you've been following the podcast journey for a while, you know, is a space that's tricky for me, a little bit tricky for me. So I feel influenced, if you will, by Claire in a really lovely way and encouraged. And I think that you guys will too. And another thing we get into in this episode that I'm excited for you guys to hear, we actually referenced it long ago when we had this conversation. It's a theme that Jess has really been on with us for the last couple of seasons, of really trying to decide how to just like be yourself in the face of whatever people think. And there's a very interesting moment in this conversation, kind of a little bit later into it, so stick around for it, where these two women who are both very visible moms really dig in together about how you handle other people's perception of you. And obviously they're dealing with that on a scale that most of us aren't. Most of us are not quite as visible as these two, but we're all in this world where everybody's watching each other, and there's a lot of fear and a lot of hesitation and just like a lot of worry of being like, I really want people to perceive me as a good mom. I really want people to like me. I really want to be just assessed as doing a good job. And that's so normal and natural. But really, all of you, every single one of you who's a parent, you're parenting at a time when you are more visible than any other parents in history. All of us have this way to sort of see into a version of each other's lives that's not even the real thing. And that's just something that's very unique about this time. It's a unique challenge to parenting right now. And this episode offers a lot of wisdom in a way that's just very raw and human from these two women. So this conversation was an absolute joy for me to witness and be a part of. And I am excited for you guys to hear it. If you have any questions or thoughts that you want to share, our email address is verygoodenoughpod@gmail.com. That's verygoodenoughpod@gmail.com. Enjoy our interview with Claire Edwards.
Claire, it's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too. I truly feel like I know you. This is such a full circle moment. I was just thinking about how, and I think I've told you this before, whenever I first found out I was pregnant.
Okay. I mean, keep going.
I told you this story. So
I don't know.
We were living in Denver. We'd been trying for a while, but like the morning I saw that like two lines on the pregnancy test, my husband was working and I was like, what do I do now? And I Googled it and I watched one of your videos. One of your videos came up. It was like, so you just found out you were pregnant or something like that.
Oh, it was probably like, you're pregnant, now what? Yes. I think I have one of those.
Yes. It was, you're pregnant, now what? And I just sat there and I was like, give me every piece of information. And that was my first exposure to you ever. I didn't know you were friends with Grace. I like found you on my own.
And that's so crazy.
I'm in love with this woman, and the way that she speaks to the camera is just so like warm. And that's how I found you. And then somehow Grace realized that I had watched that video and was like, my guess from YWAM.
It's so funny. And then, I mean, fast forward even to now where you're making all this content and I am just like loving it. And there was this really low point for me earlier in the year. And I was feeling so lost creatively. And I was watching your content for basically like inspiration and just comedy. Because when I watch you, I don't overthink. I just laugh so hard. And then I like sent you a message about it. And then you sent me a message. There was this long thing that I cried over, like screenshot, journaled after. And then it actually helped to direct like the next things I was doing. And a lot of it had to do with just like, basically this idea of like being comfortable with your own voice and being okay for plenty of people to not like it, but trusting that the people who do like it will come. But it's funny that this would all be like, you found me when you needed it. I found you when I needed it. And here we are. Yeah. And I was telling her that I told you that we have the nicest audience ever, like actually the nicest. They're like so encouraging and so kind. And you said that you posted a photo. Yeah. Just tell her this.
I posted a story yesterday or a couple days ago just being like, missed another bonus podcast. Guess whatever. And then I got this message being like, we don't care. We love it. We think you guys are the best. We have so much grace for you. Don't ever feel like you're ever doing anything wrong. I just like cried one big fat tear like, okay, I won't. Feel like I'm doing anything wrong, man.
Yeah,
so it's a little messed.
Yeah, so whoever's listening to us right now, they're just like so nice and ready to smile.
You know why I was afraid of your audience, Jess?
Tell me.
Botox gate.
Okay, let's. I just talked to Sean about this morning. I am still getting filthy comments. I woke up to someone who writes "eek" like spooky, and I'm like, you need to go for a walk, person. Uh-huh. Get offline. Go take a deep breath. Sean was like, they need water and like an interaction with a real human.
It was, my blood was boiling.
I can't believe it.
Like, there are people actually posting controversial things.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually controversial things out there that you can just bring your energy to if you really feel like fighting a fight. Us getting a little neurotoxin in our forehead because we want to. It's just crazy. I would beside myself. I wanted to bully every single person on there.
I want to go back now and start writing a lot of hate.
I saw that Grace did. Grace started going and responding. I was like, what a friend. She was like, the audacity. She goes, the audacity of people to post this stuff.
I'm getting roasted on TikTok right now because my names video is back in the rotation. I did a video that was like names we loved but didn't use.
Okay.
And boy, did it hit the wrong crowd.
Really? How could anyone have strong feelings about names that you didn't use for your baby?
Everyone thought it was a joke. And it's because my tone of voice, anytime people like don't know, I feel like I have to put a lot of inflection in my voice or people think that I'm being sarcastic.
Sure.
So everyone thought it was a joke and everybody was like, these are dog names. And my thing is, dog names have come a really long way. Mm-hmm. And people test drive their favorite baby names on their dog.
On their dog. That's totally. Absolutely
you can
true.
See totally. What the baby trends are going to be. And like my toddler's name is Goldie. Like, of course I'm going to be drawn to dog names. Like,
it's real.
The problem is that people aren't naming their dogs Popcorn anymore.
Right. Uh-huh. They're naming them Kevin.
Mr.
We just
Fluffy.
Had this talk
yeah.
yesterday.
Yes.
Kevin. Yeah. Sean and I were just talking about there's just you're just naming like full on adult names uh-huh. to your
full
dogs.
On. Yeah. Full on. And so the comments are like, please don't have any more kids. This woman, they should take away your rights to name kids. Jesus. Because I like the name like Sunday. People yeah. just kind of it. I'm like, that's
wow.
kind of
that's
normal name
adorable.
Now.
It's yeah. a name that's yeah. everywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Lane's gotten her first hate comment and it really rattled her.
Yeah. Which I'm new.
it's they're real. It's funny. You can be like, I don't care what people think and I'm going to just be me and I'm going to let all you be you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it really gets you.
Yeah. Some people are mad that I talk about children having not grown or birthed any of them.
She
and
doesn't,
I think I should
she
be
doesn't have any kids and
very
doesn't,
quiet until I. Have a baby.
Have a baby. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I've been over here accumulating some specialized knowledge with all the time that I have from not having
yeah.
a baby.
Yeah.
Would love to give you some of that. And right. then you just take that and then you go be the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be yeah. grateful, maybe, that someone else is using their resources to help you.
Yeah.
And you ran a preschool?
Yeah, I ran a subdivision of a preschool. I taught preschool for a super long time and then sort of like broke out a little toddler center within our school and like really, wow. really focused on two-year-olds for a couple years.
Mm-hmm. These two-year-olds,
cool.
yeah, they are hilarious.
They're
yeah,
for
is
real.
Goldie two?
She's two and a couple months, yeah.
Okay.
I had all these takes on having a baby that I shared yeah. on TikTok, and that's kind of how like my core audience grew. And a lot of them want me to like weigh in and give tips about toddler stuff. And I'm like, I'm so surviving right now. Mm-hmm. And like I'm having such a good time, but it's also like, I have no business giving anyone advice about it because I'm right. really taking it day by day.
And like, you, now you have two kids, you'll see even more as he gets a little bigger, but you do find this thing of like, they're all so different. So then it gets really weird. Cause like babies, you can give a lot of general advice and it's yeah. going to be mostly accurate, you know,
yeah.
toddlers, you are able to give a lot of advice because you've been with all of these different kids. And so
right.
you've got
right.
a lot, but like yeah. coming to me and I'm like, well, now I have three. So a lot of my advice is they're all very different. Mm-hmm. The thing yeah. you did with the first really might not work for the second and that's okay.
Right.
But like, okay, there I go. All right. So take
yeah,
that and run.
Yeah.
You know, like, I yeah. don't know. Here's what I did with my first. If your first is anything like my first, maybe that'll work. But there's a huge chance mm-hmm. they're not. And
yeah.
I don't know.
yeah. yeah. And
but
I like to talk about my experience, like, with having a baby and try to always keep it very, like, this is how I felt.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
Because that's not advice. And it's not,
right.
It's harder to argue with.
Yes.
So whenever... I think people just are like, oh, she makes mom content. Let's ask her for like tips for XYZ. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have
yeah.
any for you, but I'm going to keep living and I can keep distilling down my experience, I guess, and sharing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. You should send them to Very Good Mothers Club, the online group. That's like where she does calls and people
okay.
like can answer questions mm-hmm. and ask questions. It basically got down to for me where I'm like, you all have questions and you all have answers. I don't necessarily have the answer, but somebody within this crew
yes.
has
yeah.
the answer. So we basically built this like spot where there's all these great moms, but then we bring in some professionals. So we'll bring in like a toddler expert or a feeding expert or a therapist or something.
Yeah.
So it's not Jessica giving advice
right.
because
yeah.
I have like pretty limited things I'd be giving advice on, but now you have access to these other things.
So we'll Very Good Mothers Club. It is a storefront as well, right?
It's a storefront. Yeah. It's an online community, like a membership-based community. There's a Facebook group if people want to be in it and not pay anything. But personal take is that I don't love the Facebook group style. It's big. There's like 10,000 people in it. But Facebook groups are very noisy and very like quick to turn on you. It's like, actually, you've talked about it. You know how you post anything about a car seat and people just go nuts like, car seat, you're doing it wrong. Everything's wrong. Facebook groups are like that. And so I appreciate the good things happening in this Facebook group because there are very good things happening in it. But the reason why we started our membership-based community was because we felt like if there were some things you have to do, some steps you have to go through to get into this next community, and you have a face and it shows like, what city are you in? You're going to be way less likely to say something so weird or to just start a fight for no good reason. So like the amount of conflict went 100% down once we started this group where people are invested. And then everybody is kind. So they might disagree. Parenting styles are so different. And a lot of these people would never be friends outside of parenthood. And that's okay. But then they come together and they're like, oh, you feel this with your kid? Oh, I feel this with mine. Suddenly we have so much to bond over and it's enough. So we have the online community. And then like 8 months ago, we were invited to move into this shop and share a space with this other mom-focused brand. And so then we started hosting gatherings for moms there. And a lot of gatherings, nobody came. And then now people are coming. And they're coming often and asking for more. And we're looking for a bigger space. So that'll be cool. Awesome. Yeah. Moms That's need friends. Amazing. We all need friends. Yeah. I was telling someone recently, like, moms are just really great hot girls who had babies. And they're used to being with people. And now they are being with little people. And they're wonderful, but like they also want their friends back. Where are all the friends?
I find that it's easier for me to make friends now that I'm a mom, or at least there's so much to talk about. Yeah. It's just the getting in the same room that is so much harder and not getting interrupted.
Yes.
So Marco Polo has been like my saving grace. Do you guys Marco Polo?
A lot of the moms in our group Marco Polo. So I've got some people that I need to Marco Polo back.
Yeah, you got to be really careful about who you invite to Marco Polo every day because it can take up your whole life. But if you just have like a couple really core girls, like you can be talking back and forth. And what I like about it is if you give someone the opportunity to just talk and not get interrupted at all for like 5 minutes, they're going to say things like take it places so different than if you were directing them, interrupting them, asking questions, or getting interrupted by your children. Totally. And so like some of my strongest friendships have like grown so much just from Marco Polo, and we don't see each other for 3 weeks at a time. And I love that. It makes me feel so connected with people.
Yeah. That's and you like, it's like video and you can pause it partway through. I feel like it's really perfect for the mom who's not going to be able to give all of our time to communicating with people we love who are far away.
I want to hone in on this thing that you said, because I feel like you're sort of already describing pieces of it, but this thing of like, and I'm loving it. Mm. And I see that in your content too, of like, I'm loving this. Like I'm over here, like it's hard and it's all the things and it's the momhood, but like I'm at home with these people and I love it. And you're even with Marco Polo starting to describe like some of the ways that you've made it good for yourself.
Yeah.
But I think we air a lot of voices of like, this is really challenging. And actually I'm one of the people who doesn't love it. Or I personally am one of the people who's scared of that. But like, I want to with you, like really give some space for the version of like, I kind of love it, you guys. I'm like sort of taken aback at how much I'm liking it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you didn't think you would love it, right?
That's it. That's exactly it. It's the comparing it to what I thought I was getting myself into. I was someone who never thought about being a mom, never like yearned for that. I was always really excited about like becoming a wife and like me and my husband traveling the world together and like that partner forever. But, never daydreamed about having kids. And I felt like I only ever saw people having breakdowns in the Target parking lot and posting it. And I was terrified. And I think I had an overly negative expectation of what it was going to be, but I had my expectations that like, my life is going to end. I'm going to have severe postpartum depression. Right. Like it is normal to want to kill yourself after you have a baby. And I was just like expecting all of this. And also things about my personality, like really enjoying spontaneity and my number one thing. Like, I always say my 5-year goals are to like have a good time. Like, I just want to have fun. I just want to hang out with my friends. I just want to laugh. And like, that's my measure of success. And So with everybody talking about having children was hard, but worth it, I don't think it translates. The worth it part does not translate to anybody who's child free. So I'm so newly into this motherhood thing that I very much remember what it was like to be like, I know I do want to grow my family. I know I want to have kids, but I just feel like I'm going to be in the trenches. It's going to be so hard and my marriage is going to be hanging on by a thread and I'm scared. And so I'm really trying to keep like 27-year-old me, 28-year-old me in mind when I'm talking about having kids and what it's been like. Yeah. Another thing I notice a lot is it's like very vague. I feel like it's this very vague terminology is used towards the joys of motherhood. Very specific terminology is used towards the hard parts. Like, I haven't slept more than 3 hours in 3 years. That's something that sounds really tangible and I can digest and comprehend. Saying, oh, I feel this really great love and joy and fulfillment for my children. I'm like, I feel fulfillment from brunch on Saturday morning. So I don't really get it. I just didn't get it. So with my like mom content and stuff online, I just want to try to like more clearly define the parts that are really fun and great. And like, it's fun. I'm having fun.
I love that.
Part of the fun that I'm talking about is like the personal development that I've seen in myself. I have always been someone who, like I said, I prioritize having a good time. And I'm not the most disciplined when it comes to like personal development and improvement. I remember just like looking back on maybe when my first was like 6 months old, I was doing some self-reflection and just like, I am one tough bitch. Like, I am really doing this and I'm so proud of myself. Yeah. And I'm so much more confident in like what I can take on. And I trust my intuition so much more. So I could go on.
I love it.
Feels like this. It's not a shortcut because it is hard work, but it feels like a huge helping of personal development in a very short time.
That's so cool. I think what you're describing too is a bit of the way the voice of the internet went about motherhood, because I think of my 27-year-old self having Eloise. And I basically went into it being like, hopefully it's fine. I remember this one particular moment. We were staying in this building. Sean and I were living with a bunch of skateboarders. And I look out the window because I can hear a bunch of kids crying at once. And it is this woman who looks quite disheveled, like she hasn't had time for herself in a long, long time. And like she maybe hasn't been eating what she wants and she hasn't – it was not her best moment. All her kids are crying. I can see into her minivan that it's just like, it's like someone took the crackers and just like poured them all over. And I'm pregnant with Eloise. And there's kid music playing.
Oh, no.
And I burst into tears. And I call Sean and was like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, I don't know about that. And actually, I had this really sweet moment where I was in that exact parking spot this year for Halloween. The same place that we were at was hosting an event, and I was in my Suburban with my 3 happy children, and I had showered that day, and I was so grateful that I live in a time and a space where people like encourage the moms to be well and encourage. Yeah, it was different. Anyway, what I'm saying is when I think back to that time and my like struggle postpartum with Eloise and me Googling things and being like, is anyone talking about how hard this is? It was interesting that they were not. It was actually a lot of people talking about how like, this is what you're made for. Not like this is what you're made for in this like really empowering way. Just almost like, this is what you're made for.
This is all like, you're made for.
Yeah. This is, you're just doing the thing. And like, and then you'd find some like mom blogs of like, I'm like a precious mom blogger, but nobody being like, okay, so yeah, you are going to feel this sense of like, who am I now? And it was so freshly postpartum. I was like, I wrote about it. So I remember being like 5 weeks and being like, where is somebody who will tell me that it's okay that you don't like this yet? And so then what I think happened from that time to when you had Goldie is this flip of all of these moms being allowed to talk about what was hard, so much so that they found their voice over what was hard. But then need now what you are doing. So you're like the next thing that we all need, which is true. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, true. It is so many challenging things and so many wonderful things. Let's like bring it back to you can be excited about this for all of these reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think like how lucky for our kids then, like it's only going to get better from here for the people who become parents to be able to find their place in this crowd of people. Yes. And some women arrive to motherhood and go like, well, this absolutely is what I was made for. And it's like the best feeling I've ever had. Yeah. And it helps too that we lead so many groups of moms. Mm-hmm. So we're getting conversations with whole groups in person and online of like, so how is this for you? And some of them are like wild, like, yeah. Don't know if I would have chosen this if I knew, but I'm thankful I'm here. And then others are like, best thing I've ever done. Had no idea. Don't know why I was scared, you know, mm-hmm. And you just get everything in between.
But that's, I like the idea that maybe it's like more of a collage than a mm-hmm. pendulum that swings and like we're mm-hmm. over here or we're over here. Like, I like the idea that it builds in layers, mm-hmm. you know, and some of that negative voice was this like sort of ancient ventilation of like, whoa, us, like we've been hurting for forever. Sure. And all mm-hmm. these women behind us didn't get to say that part. Like they grew up mm-hmm. in the 50s, you know, with like right. the dresses yes. and the itchy stockings, like all of that stuff. Like that's just one layer. And yes. then we got this layer of like, let's get this out because yeah. this part is real. But oh, actually there's also these other parts that are real. So let's get those layers onto this like really beautiful picture too, mm-hmm. because it's all part of it. And we don't actually ever have to be one or the other mm-hmm. anymore. Like this is happening with like womanness all the way through. Yeah, mothers sure. just being like one of the big pieces of being a woman, but like of yeah. us being like, no, we're whole people and yes. we get to be all of these things.
All of them.
All at once. Right. And they're all real. And sometimes we're in this embodiment and sometimes we're in this one, but this is all us mm-hmm. and you can't take any of the parts away.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So well put, Lane.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
I also think the most polarizing content, that's always going to be served and pushed and like perform the wealth, the best,
yeah, best algorithm. Yeah.
Yeah.
True. So it's like clickbait.
It's mm-hmm. it's totally like clickbait. And a lot of people who are going on TikTok or Instagram and sharing these really raw, vulnerable, like I'm having a really hard time. I don't feel like myself. I don't know if I'll ever feel like myself again. I think that can turn into like, and you shouldn't do this. Like save yourself. Right. You shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's more about like that woman just needing to say it, just needing mm-hmm. to get it out there. And just because someone is like giving you advice or trying to warn you about something, like trying to reframe that in my mind and being like, this person just needs to say this and mm-hmm. I need to hear this. And like, this actually is them asking for help or saying, yeah. I never processed how difficult this time was for me. So now I'm going to give you this flippant advice about your toddler or about your newborn, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that has kind of helped me sift through the content that I'm getting. And I keep framing it in content because I'm at home all day on my phone.
Sure.
Which, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Which is most of us is
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Totally.
Yeah. But yeah. It's cool that you say that too, because what I'm doing with these moms, I like feel so intimidated by when I think about it too much is like, okay, well, what do I have to give these people? Like I bring them all in this space and like, what am I supposed to do for them? And then what I see being the most powerful is just giving them the space to say the thing, whatever mm-hmm. the thing is. We get a lot of moms who they come on their first time coming and they'll just cry. And they're like, yeah. I don't really know why I'm crying. Like, I really love what I'm doing, but I think I feel this and that and this. Yeah. And one of the new moms who came, she was like, I feel sort of like an exposed nerve. Like I just feel everything deeply, good and bad. I feel it all so, so deeply. And then they come 3 days later and they meet the moms and they're talking and they're fine. And then they come 3 days later and we do these meetings like twice a week, right? And then they come for months. And then the next new mom comes and that mom cries. And the one who did cry was like, oh my gosh, you're going to love motherhood. Yeah. And I watch being like, whoa, this is so crazy. Because just a few months ago, you got here and you were like, I'm not really sure. But yeah. all it is giving someone the space mm-hmm. to communicate the things that are going on. And a lot of time it is teary. You're also quite hormonal at the stage that I'm meeting these women.
Yes.
But yeah, because it is so hard to get out the door and get in a room with someone or feel brave enough to like log into a Zoom call with a bunch of strangers who are mm-hmm. moms. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of places to go with these feelings. So then mm-hmm. people are having babies and immediately becoming social media people, mm-hmm. which I love. I actually think it's so cool that they would have an outlet.
Yeah.
But it does miss this really integral piece of like being heard, being acknowledged, and then being like having the exchange of, yeah, that's really intense. I see you, versus the rush of all of these people saw what I said. Whoa, like that's a different high actually mm-hmm. than the one of like, oof, I was just like spoken to and understood and comforted and validated. Mm-hmm. Oh, and yes. Now I have something to give back to this. And you know what I mean? It's yes. It's like we're missing the tool. So then we're using the one that's right in front of us, which is algorithm. And I'm someone who thinks a lot about algorithms. Totally. Obviously, it's part of my job. But yeah. I do think that that misses the other part that you're describing, is like just being heard. And then you don't shape your feeling into the advice you're giving everyone, because you probably don't even believe it that strongly either. You just feel the feelings about whatever took place and it needs to come out of you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, but I want to know where you are. I don't know where you are.
I'm in Arkansas.
Is that random?
Cool.
That's where your husband's from.
So I grew up here. My husband and I met and got married here when we were 21. We're in Northwest Arkansas. So people in Arkansas, they really like to specify Northwest Arkansas. We really set ourselves apart up here. It's where like the college is, and it's like they're really trying to brand it as the mountain biking capital of the world. Like the Waltons are trying to like buy that. Big Walmart country.
Gotcha.
Yes. So my husband and I grew up and met and got married here very young. And then he did his residency in Denver. And so we lived there for about 7 years. And that is where I was a hairdresser. And I met Grace, who lived in Spain with you, right?
Yeah, in LA. Yeah.
I was working in a salon, hating my life, hating it. And she had cool blue hair. Mm-hmm. And started talking to my friend that worked as a barista, and she was like, I'm going to open a salon and I don't have any stylists. And my friend was like, my friend's a stylist. And we met and just fell in love with each other. And then I got to work there for 3 years. And then I got pregnant and I was like, I don't care about anything other than living in a house I can afford.
Yeah.
And like being closer to family. And so we moved back here. That's where we had Goldie. 2 years later, we had Oak. They're like less than a week apart. Northwest Arkansas is wonderful for families. Like, it just makes so much sense for like our having babies era. And I look forward to maybe living in Colorado again one
day. Really? Okay.
Yeah,
wait, you should shout out Grace's salon.
If you live
Holistic
in
Denver, Salon.
You're going to want to go to Holistic Salon because they're very good at what they do, but also the environment is very healing.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's nice.
When you arrive to Arkansas, you're quite pregnant. Okay, very pregnant. Okay, are you at that point feeling like at peace, at ease, ready, excited? And have you begun kind of what became a TikTok journey? I imagine you started doing social media not knowing it was going to be what it is.
Oh, yeah. So I was like scared for sure. But at that point, I thought it's either as hard as I think it is or not. You know, so like I'm ready for it to be like really bad. So bring it on. And, you know, Mother Nature's way of preparing you for birth is just how treacherous pregnancy is. I hate being pregnant. So I was like, whatever, bring it on. I remember there was like 2 weeks before I was going to give birth. I was watching a YouTube video of like one of my favorite YouTubers, and she was maybe 6 months postpartum, and she was sharing her very raw, very real story about postpartum being a lot harder than she expected, how 10 weeks later she was still bleeding, how she was deficient in all these things. And I just sat there and cried. And I was like, what have I done? What am I getting myself into? And then we have Goldie. My partner, my husband and I keep looking at each other being like, this is the best thing ever. Like, when is the other shoe going to drop? We are having so much fun. And the parts that we expected to dislike, I got very lucky with both babies. I think I've gotten very lucky hormonally. And I owe everything to that. But I remember like waking up in the middle of the night to feed or changing a million diapers and stuff and just being like, whoa, I love this baby so much. I don't even mind. Like, it's the joy, even the hard parts. It's just, it's great. And I wasn't connected with my baby while I was pregnant, like emotionally at all. So I just got hit by so much love, so much unconditional love that honestly, I'd never felt anything like it before. And it was like in the hospital, like bam. And I was shook. My experience with him was totally different. I feel like it has taken a little bit longer for us to like build our bond and our connection. So then I was staying home full time. I was back in my old town, but it's 8 years later and I'm so different than whenever we left. Right. I mean, I was scrolling on TikTok every day and I was seeing mom content and I was like, I could do that.
Yeah.
That looks fun. And the worst that could happen is nobody sees it and then it's not embarrassing. My whole journey with like creating and putting videos online has been intrinsically linked with deciding it's cool to be myself. And there's nothing to be embarrassed of, to say what I think or crack little jokes or try to move deeper into the person that I am, sharing that with the world. And that's not cringy.
Yeah.
And that has been like really mind blowing to me as someone who grew up thinking it was really cool to make fun of yourself, really cool to be the butt out of every joke as long as you got to it first. You know, I feel like I've been really bad about compartmentalizing my personality to whoever I'm in front of, like reflecting their personality and just wanting so badly to be liked. And then having so much anxiety at the thought of like getting all those people together in the same room. Cause I'm like, y'all don't all know the same Claire.
Right.
But with creating and putting videos online and just trying so hard to present a whole self, it kind of forces you to say, to like be consistent, I think more consistent because
absolutely,
you know, my in-laws are seeing the same videos that like my best friends are seeing, that people who just started following me are seeing, and it feels really freeing.
Yeah. Is it ever, now that you're in it, is it ever anxiety provoking or has it gotten to a point where it's such a flow, like you're just comfortable being you and that's
No. I know when I'm in a headspace of like, I can put something online right now and if I get one mean comment, it's going to crush me. Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling really secure. Nobody's going to bother me. And I just have to like check within myself if I need to protect my peace and not post anything. If it feels fun, like it has to be fun or I will stop doing it.
Do you feel like that reverses itself into your real life as well? Like, are you able to be more Claire in like the physical world?
Absolutely. 1,000%. That's so cool. It's really interesting to notice like who I want to protect myself from and who I want to block like in my personal life, who I don't want to see my videos, and then examine that and be like, why do they make me feel insecure? Why do I not want to think about this video through their eyes? And then translate that to real life and be like, oh, maybe this person doesn't make me feel free to be me. Then also making friends with people online and getting older and realizing your friends should always be life-giving and not make you feel like a loser has been absolutely transformative.
That's and so you realize, cool.
like, what? Wait, I don't know. For a long time, I think I was drawn to like attaching myself to one best friend and we would like make fun of other people and other things. And I'm talking like high school, maybe a little bit of college. Totally. And then when you make fun of everyone so much, like you can't change at all or you become something that you make fun of.
Right.
Yeah. I also used to be a mean girl.
And now you're a nice girl?
I'm nice.
That's cool.
I'm a big softy.
I love what you're doing mentally of being like, this is an opportunity for me to be consistent with everyone. Because that is something that I feel is it can almost be, it's like a strength and a weakness to be able to be with a person and in that like dynamic relationship with them, be what you need to be for this to flow. And the way you might be with one is going to look different than the way you might be with someone else. And I think that can be a strength, but it can absolutely be really terrifying when everybody comes together and they're like, so wait, is this who you are? Like, so are you like funny something or are you professional, like serious? Are you deep? You know, well, yeah. I'm a lot of things. Yes. This is just one place where I'm sharing one part of who I am. Yes. But that can be really scary to figure that out. And I love that you would take it from like, this is my social media to actually, this is me growing as a person to be yeah. more confident in who I am in all of these ways. I think for me, that's like very, it's important for me to hear it and think about it like that. I should, mm-hmm. yes. I want to be more like that.
I'm also very, I can get really defensive because I know how monumental it is for myself to be confident enough to do this because I hear how mean I've been to myself in my mind in the past. So I try to, I mean, theme of my life is like try to talk to yourself and build yourself up the way that you speak to your friends, right? Mm-hmm. So anytime I'm posting something, almost every single time I post something, I'm like, I should delete that. That was stupid. Like mm-hmm. right after. And trying so hard just to be like, put myself in the shoes of a friend or be a friend yeah. to myself. So if someone is going to make even just the most micro, like, you want to film this and make it a TikTok or like something mm-hmm. that even I get a whiff yeah. of you making fun of me. Like, I really don't like that. And I really mm-hmm. don't think it's cool. And I'm not yeah. going to allow myself to internalize it because I've worked so hard.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
So I could probably like react a little too strongly to it, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you externalize that? Like, what do you do in that moment with that person? Are you someone who like swallows that and then has to deal with it for yourself? Or are you able to express that?
It's something that I need to work on, expressing it in the moment. I would say my nature is to just take note of it and be like, I'm going to be really self-protective around this person. Maybe they're not, you know, my bestie for the restie, and just to know that not everybody has to be. Mm-hmm. And, but I think that that's definitely somewhere that I need to grow is being able to give feedback in the moment and be like, I don't think it's stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of curiosity about that character trait in people because I really admire it and I want a lot more of it. And I'll definitely
like to
do
be
some
able to speak up for yes. yourself in the moment.
Yes. And I'll definitely do some standing up for somebody else. Like mm-hmm. for some reason right. I can access that if there's yes. like bullying happening to someone else.
Totally.
But yes. I will just take that in and be like, great, you're dead to me. Mm-hmm. And then right. move on to take care of myself. Off. But yeah. they don't know how yeah, dead yeah. they are.
They yeah. don't know that they're already blocked.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think becoming a mother at the same time as all of this just made me think about like, I'm not going to let Goldie's mom take shit like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
and yeah.
I've been through so much and I don't know. It's just so huge. It's so hard to talk about motherhood because it's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is just like, I'm so proud of what I've done, like being a mom. Mm-hmm. And I just don't have time to hate myself anymore. I'm sorry, I don't. Yeah.
I'm in a stage where Eloise is in third grade. So she's going through the so things funny. We went through. Yeah. Oh, she's so funny. She is funny.
She's really funny.
She's great. But she's going through these really normal things of like, what do you think everyone's going to think of my outfit? Well, one person said this today. What do you, and she's like, she's very logical. So I've told Lane this a bunch of times, but she'll just like process it with me in the car. Often going so cool. to school is like she did this morning. Today's her Christmas show. So she's wearing this fabulous oh. outfit. And then she's like, do you think I'm fancier than everyone? Do you think I'm too fancy? Do you think I'm too like not fancy enough? Mm-hmm. And yeah. like, what do I do if everyone's fancier than me? What do I do if, and it's all the same mind stuff that we do about everything. Oh, that's the yeah. funny thing. I was going to say this about the Botox video. Nobody's commenting anything I haven't thought about myself.
Right.
All
right.
of these negative things that people say as if they're being so innovative and like, oh my gosh, first time you've ever heard this. Like we're way meaner to ourselves than these really strange people. Yeah. But it's such a discipline of like having to talk more gently to yourself. And as your own kids get older and you're parenting them through it, it becomes even more like on the forefront of your mind. For me with Eloise, I'm doing this all the time. And she's a really confident kid, which I give Sean a lot of like credit for. The way he is with her, I think is life changing. But just the things she's having to choose for herself and the way she's being with her friends, it's because we're talking about it all the time. Then I come to myself and I'm like, am I being that way? Like, am I for example, we go to a little birthday party, and as we're about to go in and see all of her friends, she's like, I feel so nervous. She's like, and I like all of them, but I feel so nervous. Yeah. And I'm like, I know. That's exactly what we feel. Mm-hmm. That's very, very normal. And she's like, it makes me like want to not talk to everyone, but I like talking to everyone. And I'm like, yes, that is 100%. Exactly what we feel. And then I'm talking her through. So you go in and you find someone that you like. Maybe you give them a compliment because they're probably nervous too. Everyone probably feels the same thing you feel. And then as I'm teaching her, I'm going like, this is the same exact sensation I'm going to have the next day at my grown-up thing, that I know all of these people, I like all of these people, and I'm nervous to see all of them, and I want to hide in the back. Okay, go give them a compliment. Go say something sweet. You know, it's weird. Yeah. It like becomes this parenting me while I'm parenting her. Mm-hmm. And I'm so lucky for that. And maybe it like gives me a chance to do this again, where when I was littler, I might have just, I don't know, done it the way I was parented. And I'm sure my mom tried so hard, but there's certain things that I'm thankful I get to give it another round and like build on what I had.
Yeah.
How incredible that she can put words to that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I saw having kids as like this really big milestone of being an adult and growing up. And that means I'm really up, but it's amazing how much it's like, I'm a kid again. Like I'm just like, that's why I get so into Christmas. Like I just love
it.
Feeling it's like so a kid. Cool. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
Well, Claire, for our last couple of minutes, would you say a bunch of the things that you were surprised that you really liked about motherhood for me and for our listeners?
That's so cute.
To just close out.
What a good question.
That is.
There's babyhood and there's toddlerhood. Mm-hmm. And what's top of mind with toddlerhood is like, I love when she holds my hand and she looks around and finds me and runs up to me and like can hug me back and is saying the funniest things. And you just don't, I just did not find kids to be interesting or funny whatsoever. And when someone would tell me a story about their kid, it was the same thing as whenever they tell me about a dream they just had. I'm like,
Claire, I have said that exact thing.
Really?
That I felt the same sensation. I'm like, it's as if you're telling me about a dream. And I also, the next thing you could do is tell me a long, long story about one of your animals. And I care about people. So I will, like, if you love your dog, I will love your dog with you. But if you take me on a long journey about the dog, I may have a hard time sincerely going there. And so I felt the same.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. And I was doing hair, so I was like,
hearing all of it
about their kids, like make your face look interested when they're talking about, and they would always say, you know, that people would be like, well, my 3-year-old, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, don't call them your 3-year-old, just say their name. And now I'm like, well, you need to know that they're 2. Like,
my 27 month old.
Yeah.
And it's, even if you think kids are so uninteresting and boring and not cool, when your kid jumps with 2 feet off the ground for the first time, it's all I can talk about. I'm like, Goldie jumped. Goldie said XYZ and it was so hilarious, and let me show you this picture. It's just, they are so interesting. And with Oak, he can't even do anything. He's a little potato. But I'm like, his poop was a little more textured today. I wonder what that means. La 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 la. Yeah. And it's interesting to me. Cutesy, sweet family things. I live for it. I'm like, let's go to the pumpkin patch. And like, it's just so freaking fun. But even the not cutesy things, like I think about like, what would I do if I didn't have kids? I would go to Italy and I would be having an espresso on a gorgeous cobblestone street. And I don't even know if that would feel more fun than like laying in bed with my kids. This is having fun. And I feel like I've maxed out, but I still like, whenever I do get a taste of like this weekend, we went and had a little staycation and we rode bikes and got good food. And it was kind of a taste of like our life before kids. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it so much because I don't get that all the time. And that was so sweet and wonderful. I'm also very aware that this time is fleeting and temporary. So like even the tough parts, I'm like, it's fine. It'll be over soon.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Great answer. Do you see yourself having more kids? You don't like pregnancy. You love the kids.
I freaking hate pregnancy. Would love a surrogate. Can't afford it. But okay. I think we'll probably end up with three.
Okay.
Maybe a bigger gap between number two and number three. How do you like having three kids? Does it feel like you were dropping
one through your No. So I absolutely love it. And yes, did feel like I was drowning in the very beginning. But Jules came prematurely. It was COVID. Eloise was home. People couldn't come help. We did have amazing girls who ended up coming that we like met through them helping us. And it was wonderful. Wow. But it was just like such a unique way to have three. And Wilson and Jules are so close in age that in that beginning stage, it was challenging, but then like now it's really fun and they are each other's best friends and worst enemies and just like it's very cute. I also thought it was so special. I think my hardest one was my first one and then everything after that. Jules was hard because she had health issues I had never had. But even while it was happening, I knew how fast everything goes. Mm-hmm. Whereas the first one, it's like, well, this is only going to last 5 weeks. And when the nights are really long, you're like, 5 weeks is 5 years. Yeah, like that's very long. Whereas baby number two, number three, everything feels shorter. Yeah. And then and now.
You're on running.
Yeah, yeah. And now I am. Well, this is going to come out later, so people might know at this point. But, like, I have to get a hysterectomy soon. And now I feel even extra grateful that I have three. Because I felt good with two. Sean wanted three. And I think this would be a worse experience if I was like, oh, shoot. Like, did we miss out? Should we have done this? Whereas Jules, like, blasted out and continues blasting. And I feel very happy with, like, this bunch that we got. I like them so much. The only thing that makes me wish there were more is the fact that those kids are so great that I think, like, what if there was another one up inside there? Like, we got to get them out. They are so funny and cool. It's just a lot to take care of everyone and pay for everyone. So, yeah, I think three is really fun. Happy we did it.
I feel like having a newborn while I have a toddler is just like, there's no way to go back and have that first baby experience. Like, the baby is so easy compared to the toddler. Time I was like, there's no way other people have multiple kids without a nanny. Like, there's no way. My days are chock full of being busy with this one baby. There's no way I could have another kid. And now I'm like, I had so much free time.
Yeah, with one. I know. Isn't that weird? I wish you could have that feeling because we have that where like if we're only taking care of one kid, we're like, whew, only one of them. This is crazy.
Yes.
But then when you only have one, it feels like how in the world would you add any others? Yeah, it's wild.
And we just didn't know what we were doing at all. And I've loved feeling so much less anxious with this baby.
Oh, that's good.
That's another thing that I like about motherhood. It's something that I also enjoyed about COVID actually was how it distilled everything down to like who are the only people you want in your life, who like what is what you're gonna make time for. Like I had a friend use the analogy of like when you're running a marathon, you can only accept those little energy goo packs like to give you energy. And she was like in a difficult time in her life and she was like, people around me have to be friends that are giving energy goo packs to me and I can't be expending extra energy. And it feels like that stage of life right now. Like I'm not saying that it's easy, but I really enjoy how much clarity it brings.
Thanks for sharing that, Claire. That's beautiful.
I feel inspired by you. I felt inspired by you before today, but I think my like big thing that I'm going to be thinking about is this idea that we can just be the one us. Obviously, we are many things inside of us, but to be that and let it be okay and not feel the need to accommodate everyone's who they wish we were. Like, just be who you are.
Just be who you are and people will find you. Your people will find you. And anytime I do like post a video and I feel like I'm really being me and it gets like 2 views, I'm like, you know what? That was for my core girlies that really get me. And that's going to hone my audience. Right now with social media stuff, I'm curious if you also feel intense pressure to be niched because the algorithm wants us to be one thing and recreate that one thing. and people follow you for that one thing. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm posting Christmas content, I get all these followers, and I'm like, y'all don't know me.
Right, right.
Y'all, like, are going to wonder.
Yeah, like, what are they going to think in January?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted that I smoked a cigarette as one of my treats of November.
Oh, yeah.
And so many people were so shocked, and it was just, like, such a good reminder, like, you guys don't really know me. But I strive to be myself more so mm-hmm. that my followers can know me, and it can be really, like, a fun interaction and an authentic one and an authentic mm-hmm. connection. And the thing is, just, like, just be a little crazier online, please. Because you're so funny. And I know the moms are scary. I'm scared of the moms, not the ones listening to this podcast, because they're all sweetie pies. Nice ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you stand to be a little crazier. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I hope that conversation was as encouraging and inspiring and just joyful for you as it was for us to have in the moment. And the thing about this podcast is that we just don't want you to listen to it. We want to know you and be friends with you and have you become part of our community so that we can support you and that you can come support other moms, because there's just no reason for you guys to be on this parenting journey alone. So check the link in the show notes, join Very Good Mothers Club, join us for one of our podcast calls. Every single month, Jess and I host a live Zoom call specifically for you guys who are listeners of this podcast. We just did one last week and it was so, so fun. It's so cool to get to connect with you guys in real life. Thanks for listening and have a great week.